Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming back with us. This is Dr. Youngblood. This is Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about today white hate, attack on being white in America. It's promulgated and agitated by the agitators. It's called, I call them the loose lex, left, lost, loony liberals. Those in particular, the 20-plus that's running for president on the Socialist Democratic ticket, and they're trying to undermine America by calling President Trump a racist or a white supremacist, and there's no evidence of that whatsoever. In fact, contrary-wise, he has done everything I believe possible to bring the racist. Barack Hussein Obama did more to divide America racially than any other president in the history of America. And then comes President Donald J. Trump, trying to heal the wounds, and simply because he is taking a stand on border control, because he's taking a stand that we ought not to allow just anybody to come in, all of a sudden he's a racist. Just because he is trying to prosecute lawbreakers and make them be held responsible, then all of a sudden he is a racist, because he says you can't cross the border unless you do so legally. He is a racist. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a little bit weary with hearing that term. But yet when the Black Lives Matter thugs were on the streets, you didn't hear the Looney Tunes on the left saying that that was racist. Never mind the fact that the Black Lives Matter, three originators of that group, the Black Lives Matter individuals that are supporting and carrying that out, are socialist communists. And I can show you that from a documentary on their backgrounds. And yet that's not supposed to be racist. I'm appalled by it, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, an important issue. I wonder if I can just say a few things unhindered for a few moments, and you can correct them at the end if necessary. But
go right ahead. First, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. The first point is simply that all this issue of white racism, et cetera, is a result of the election of God's gift to this country of Donald Trump. I say that for this reason. Donald Trump, if nothing else, has been the one, and really probably the only one because of his background and his strong masculine presence, to be able to polarize our country in a way that it needed to be polarized. What I mean by that is simply we now see good and evil in a way we have not seen it in recent years. It's kind of like Isaiah chapter 5. We now see that good is being spoken of as evil, evil is good. It wasn't clear. Many of us were just simply compromised in this, you know, frog being cooked in the soup measure of the progressive decline of the culture, and we just didn't see it. Because we have an abrasive, strongly masculine lightning rod for a president, we have been divided into people who are aware of the problem and people who are part of the problem. Now, that said, the Democrats today are simply practicing Marxism. They put out a false premise followed by a very emotional solution to the false promise. People miss the falsity, the error of the premise, and they jump to the solution, and they talk about it ad infinitum, to the point that it becomes then truth. That's what Marxists do, tell a lie over and over again, and it becomes truth. Now, the whole objective of what we see happening is simply to create one world government. We've been moving toward this since the time of the Tower of Babel. We are moving toward one world government. America is the sole remaining roadblock to that, and in America, it has been the conservative white male who has largely built where we, the colossus that America is today. Yes, we're a melting pot of nations, and everyone has contributed to what America is, but generally, it has been the conservative white male that built this nation. And I say conservative white male, there certainly is a spiritual component to it that was present in this country until around 1950, when it began to be eroded as the Marxists stepped up their efforts to destroy America, the one obstacle to the one world government. So this false premise is aimed at the white male who must be destroyed. He must be taken down, a new culture created, the old values pushed away, so that we then come collectively to the point of wanting that one world government so all our problems can be solved. Well, that doesn't work, because one world government would eventually be led, and will be according to the Bible, will be led by one horrendously proud, evil person who will then control this nation in a way that has never been before on the face of the earth. That's what we're moving toward. Donald Trump has given us a brief respite of time for those who know Christ or who want to know him to understand really where we are and how evil the times are, and then after asking the question why, come to the point, well, what am I going to do about it? And before you come to the point of asking yourself, or after you come to the point of asking yourself what you want to do about it, you have to ask yourself what you believe. And that's the real problem in America. Most people don't know what they believe. So my final comment is this. Every person listening to your show today needs to understand the sign of the times. We are in the latter days. This nation is in trouble. It's nothing for Christians to be frightened about. But it is something that we have to push back against. We have a mission that we need to accomplish. And that mission begins with asking ourselves, what do I believe? Do I really believe it? As a result of what I believe, am I going to take action? And that action is people coming together, coming out of the corrupted churches, and coming together in those locations where the truth is known, and beginning to work together with the power of the Holy Spirit to push back in the way we're supposed to push back against darkness. We have no reason for fear, but we have a lot of reason to get it in gear, get moving, and push back. Donald Trump was given to us by God to show us emphatically the evil that's in our day. And, brother, I know you agree. Every day you turn on the news and you look at the Democrat Party and some of these millennial knuckleheads that are crying for socialism, we see how evil the day is. And you're very right about this movie, The Hunt, that's coming out. Life imitates art, and all we have to do is look at the horrendously evil and wicked things that are in our art entertainment today and understand that that is the direction that our culture is moving. Thank you for letting me say that. Now, you correct whatever's in error in that, and God bless you. Great show.
No, there's no correction that's needed. You've said it exactly correct. In fact, it points to the fact of the scripture in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2 and following in particular, perilous times shall come, speaking of the last days. And I used without any destruction to the text, that perilous times have come, not shall come. Perilous times are here. The word perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, deadly, destructive. And that's what we're seeing today, ladies and gentlemen. And just as our caller just made mention of, our whole question today is, what do we believe? Why should we believe it? Well, we need to take a stand for truth, number one. Number two, we need to be salt and light as Jesus commands that we be. Salt means that we are a preservative in a decaying society. Light means we're illumination for a darkened world. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about white hate. We're talking about the attacks on being white in America today. And it's a fundamental problem, and it's a tactic that's being used, a Marxist tactic. We're going to talk about that in just a moment and elaborate more completely on that fact. Here's an article that says, Biden links Trump to the El Paso shooting, the rise of white supremacy in fiery speech, saying that President Trump has fanned the flames of white supremacy in this nation. Democratic presidential primary frontrunner Joe Biden on Wednesday sought to directly link the president to the mass shooting in El Paso, Texas. Quote, the danger that Donald Trump and the alt-right pose to this nation isn't hypothetical, Biden said. It's real. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a matter that Joe Biden, and here's another article with Joe Biden again, and he's the one that Sarah Palin said, don't say nor say no, Joe, when he was opening his mouth and putting his foot in it back years ago. Joe Biden, this president has fanned the flames of white supremacy. President Donald J. Trump is using code, C-O-D-E, as well as plain language to promote white supremacy. I'd love to know what those codes are that Biden is talking about and others have come out. Well, he's not openly saying that, but he's saying that in code. But it says here, he's saying it is code as well as plain language to promote white supremacy. Former vice president and Democratic presidential hopeful Joe Biden said Wednesday in his speech, quote, his both clear language and code language, this president has fanned the flames of white supremacy in this nation. And Joe Biden was characterizing the president's comments on issues such as border security and mass violence as both outright and coded support for white supremacy and mass murder, end quote. And again, it goes back to just because the president says we want to secure our borders, all of a sudden he's a racist because he says that you need to come in as an immigrant, you need to come in the white right doors and not cross the line illegally. He's a racist because he says that we need to preserve ICE and not destroy that law enforcement agency. He's a racist because he believes in the rule of law. He's a racist somehow, some way, because he says that Baltimore is a rat-infested city. He's a racist. It is simply the default mechanism used by the socialist Democrats, and it is not just that default mechanism. It is a contrived, intended plan and modus operandi that comes right out of Marxism and the Marxist agenda. In fact, Biden is not the only one, ladies and gentlemen. All of the candidates are saying something, in fact, speaking up in relationship to trying to have the torrent of the same verbiage. And I'll tell you why it's necessary for all of them to speak in unison, all of them to speak with one voice in just a moment, because it's the plan. Here's an article that says, former Sanders spokeswoman, quote, we don't need white people leading the Democratic Party. And the article goes on to say, a former spokeswoman for the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign appeared on CNN Wednesday afternoon to weigh in on the future of the DNC and the Democratic Party. Sanders dismissed the idea of Howard Dean returning to the DNC, chairman commenting, we don't need white people leading the Democratic Party right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wonder how this is coming about and why they're using the same term, demeaning white people and trying to tear down and destroy, I must tell you, this is the fact. Here's the problem. It is right out of the playbook of the Saul Alinsky. In fact, I have covered this before, but let me do an overview and then get to the point of what we're talking about. We want to understand what's causing this. What is the modus operandi that's being used and why are they using it? Why are the socialist Democrats all in unison trying to make you believe and make the world believe and make the nation believe that President Donald J. Trump, to whom our previous caller just said, and I'm in agreement, that it's a gift from God. It is God's divine intervention that's given us President Donald J. Trump. Were it not for President Trump being in office, we would have a socialist form of government today by Hillary Rodham Clinton. She is against our constitutional republic and the representative way of life in America. Here's the point. We've got a caller on the line, but we'll pick it up in just one moment. Let me give you this. Here are the things that is right out of the Saul Alinsky playbook, Rules for Radicals, as it is called. There's a number of levels, but I'm going to just review eight of them. Healthcare, control the healthcare and you control the people. Poverty, increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and not fight back if you're providing everything for them to live. Debt, increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes and this will produce more poverty. Gun control. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the... By the way, ladies and gentlemen, not only are they calling President Donald J. Trump a racist and a white supremacist, but all 20-plus of the Democratic Socialist candidates for president, every one of them want to take away the Second Amendment right. Every one of them want to modify and modulate the Second Amendment in such a way that it will nullify it, and the Second Amendment is the only amendment that says not to be infringed upon. And yet that is part of the socialist plan to overthrow America. Welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Education. Take control of what people read, listen to, and learn. Control what people are learning in school, and you can control the society. Religion. Remove the belief in God from government and the schools. Well, the Democratic Party, the Socialist Democratic Party, have already banned God from the halls of Congress. In fact, Democrats now are concerned about what they call religion. They've done this. Listen, Democrats scramble to fix the God problem. And apparent acknowledgement that they have a God problem, the Democratic National Committee has hired a religious outreach director and will hold listening sessions with faith leaders leading up to the 2020 election. Did you hear that? They're concerned about fixing the God problem. They know they have a God problem because they banned God from the classrooms. They banned God from the public arena. They banned prayer and Bible study in the classrooms. And as a result of that 2012 election, the Democratic National Committee, they wanted to ban God from any mention of God in their planks of what they were standing for in 2012. And then recently in the halls of Congress, where one of the congressmen said that God can be, talking about God, have God in these cathedrals and the synagogues in the churches, but certainly God cannot be in the halls of Congress. And that's exactly their problem, because they banned God, and as a result of that, they're grappling at straws, trying to figure out how to overthrow America and to make it a socialist nation. But here's the key point. In the Rules for Radicals with Saul Alinsky, right out of the playbook of the Marxist agenda, class warfare, divide the people into wealthy and poor, and to divide them ethnically. This will cause more discontent, and it will be easier to hike the taxes, take the wealthy to support the poor. And may I ask you a question? Does this sound like what's happening in the United States today? I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
It's amazing to me how the left in America, when I say left, leftist, your socialist, your Marxist, most of your Democrats, they so try to poison the well. They try to put a tag or a stamp on folks that they see as dangerous. This racist rant, this racist tag that they like to put on people. They didn't just start that with Donald Trump. They, for more than a decade now, been basically pointing to every historical figure. The signatories to our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, they try to say that most of those folks were racist.
That's right.
They try to all of America racist. And it's amazing because you jump into modern day America. Why in the world do folks from every color and creed around the world, why do they want to come to America? If given the choice of any place on earth, most of them want to come to America. If it's such an evil place, why is that the case? And I beg another question. Why, when there is a mixed ethnicity, why is there always the preference for the left to identify themselves as the minority? I mean, Barack Obama was black and white, but he identified as a black person. Why did Dolezal, which was a white woman, why did she choose to make her hair up funny? She was a head within the NAACP. Why in the world does she, as a white woman, choose to identify as a black person if that's such a hated thing, within America? It's perverse. Why in the world does what's-her-face, Pocahontas, the senator, why when she applied to become a staff member, a professor at Harvard University, why did she identify as a Native American when she's like 1,026 Native American? I mean, she's not Native American. Why did they always choose to identify as a minority if somehow or another America's a racist country and minorities are mistreated and abused?
By the way, Greg, just a little footnote on Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren. Somebody said recently that she was bitten by a mosquito. She has no more Indian blood in her now.
I drew that last little bit of Indian DNA right out of her system. No, it's amazing to me because if you look at America today, you don't find any federally, state, or locally sponsored form of discrimination against minorities. If you will, you actually find the opposite. You actually find the opposite. We have, across the United States, city after city, I think Jacksonville still has a minority set-aside program. I'm not sure that that's the case, but I know for many decades they had a minority set-aside program. In 1992, 93, on the wall of the employment office for the city of Jacksonville, there are 12 available jobs. 9 of the applications across the top said 4 black applicants only. It's amazing. Now, how in the world can you make America out to be racist, discriminatory against all blacks, all folks of color, all minorities? I mean, that doesn't smack with reality. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. America is the greatest nation on God's green earth by any rational, reasonable analysis of any metric applied to the United States. Even the three-fifths compromise that, you know, folks will say was a racist thing. They need to look at Douglas, what was his name? In any case, his analysis of, as a former slave, his analysis, astute analysis of the three-fifths compromise, where slaves would be counted as three-fifths of a person for representation. That literally prevented individuals that were slaveholders from importing more slaves in order to get more representation in Congress in order to bolster their power and keep slavery going. That literally from the foundation of the country, there was a plan to eradicate slavery. Now, it was a worldwide phenomenon, yet only about 500,000 slaves were imported into the former British colonies. You go to other places, I mean, more slaves ended up in the Caribbean than ended up here. It's perverse because, again, by any legitimate metric, you come to the conclusion that America is not a racist country. By any reasonable metric dealing with Donald Trump, you'll find that he's not a racist either. But that tag, that terminology is intended to divide America, but it's also intended to be dismissive of whoever it's applied to. So Donald Trump, you know, can't be respected. He shouldn't be voted for. He shouldn't be allowed to be, you know, intermingled with the rest of the human gene pool, I guess. By these leftists,
Greg, you touched on a very serious question that you asked in relationship to why would they do that. I'm looking at a list of things that Saul Alinsky out of the Rules for Radicals, which is a Marxist handbook, and here's one of the statements: ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There's no defense for ridicule. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concession, end quote. And this is another statement here from Rules for Radicals. Keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. As the opposition masters one approach, hit him from the flank with something new. Another one. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. If you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become positive. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, polarize it, cut off the support network, and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after people, not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions, end quote. I believe that's what we're seeing take place today. It is the Saul Alinsky Marxist approach to make America a socialist nation. That's exactly the reason they want open borders. That's exactly the reason we see the attack on President Donald J. Trump.
It's interesting from the perspective of always, you know, the notion of keeping the opponent off balance. That's why the debate comes in the form of an all-out assault and name-calling. They do not want to have a true debate, a true discussion on the subject. They do not want to, just like this gun debate that's going on now, it's not a real debate. They want to preach to us what needs to be done and how horrible you are if you're anything other than anti-gun. And, you know, they've already come to their conclusions. Now you need to jump on their bandwagon or you'll be called horrible names. You'll be, you know, referenced in the most despicable of terms. You know, on that, now I watched a little bit of Cuomo the other night on CNN. I feel dumber. I think it's CNN. I feel dumber for having watched it on his public forum, the gun debate thing. And it was literally as it was the last time. It's an incessant line of why we need to give up our guns. They're not going to analyze the real problem. They're not going to look at the association with, you know, fatherless homes. They're not going to look at the association of mental disorders. They're not going to look at the association of drugs. They don't even look at the total overall murder stats here versus other places and community by community. I mean, I saw the posting the other day. Let's just if gun control is good, let's try it in a large, highly populated urban or metropolitan area and see how it works. Well, that's been done, hasn't it? We've tried severe levels of gun control in major urban areas, and it fails.
Yes. Greg, hang in there just one moment. We've got another caller on the line. We can have the discussion together. Thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, Do you remember the Sandy Hook shooting?
Yes.
It happened during Barack Obama's tenure. Well, Trump was contemplating, and I'm sure planning for a presidential run. He never called Obama a racist because of that. And I'm sick of the racist sticker. We've had a black president. We've had a black attorney general. We've had two black secretary of states. If we're a racial nation, prejudice, we're doing the worst job that anybody could ever do. And it's just a stigma that you put on somebody to smear them.
That's the whole point of the Marxist socialist communist approach, and that is the textbook case of what's being used today, and you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your call. We've got about 2 minutes to go on the broadcast. Greg, when we talk about the socialist agenda, the Marxist agenda, when we talk about with the Democrats using that we are talking about now several things, three-pronged in particular. We're talking about the gun control. We're talking about the class warfare, and we're talking about religion. Remove the belief from God, from government, and the schools, and you have destroyed the foundation for the nation. Class warfare, that's taking place, and trying to remove the guns, and education, of course, is a part of it. We've had the dumbing down of Americans for the past 50 years in the educational system. How do you respond to what people need to understand? Our listeners, what do they need to understand about the dynamics of this socialist Marxist agenda that's the playbook for the socialist Democrats that's running for president, that's causing this fomenting of racism and white supremacy? We've got about a minute left, so I'll leave the last minute to you for your comments on my question.
I don't know that we can cover all that in just 1 minute, but it is interesting. It is interesting to note that we have so many different battlefronts. We have so many different battlefronts. You just named a few of them. We could go on all morning long, all afternoon long, with the series of attack points that conservatism, Christianity, and constitutional governance is under assault. This sort of an assault, I don't think one person, I mean, George Soros is a billionaire. I don't think he can orchestrate it to the level and to the degree that it has taken place. Every single day, it's another battlefront emerges. And I believe when you look at something so orchestrated, so organized, so planned, it comes from a different power. And the Bible
Greg,
says we're not against
Greg, flesh and blood. Our time has developed to the end. I appreciate your call. I'm thankful for our listeners today. We're delighted that you tuned in, joined in. So join in next time as we face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.